Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. Just to remind you, you know, this story takes place in the time of the Judges. It's after the book of Judges in the Bible. A famine came to the land of Israel, and there was a man that lived in Bethlehem, Judah, a man by the name of Elimelech. Instead of trusting God, he decided to go somewhere else where there wasn't a famine, and so he took his wife Naomi and their two boys, and they went to the land of Moab. They got to Moab, and Elimelech died. Instead of coming back, Naomi and the boys elected to stay in the land of Moab. The two boys married girls of Moab, girls by the name of Orpha and Ruth, and then they died. And so after she lost her husband and her two sons, Naomi got word that the famine was over, and so she told her daughters-in-law, I'm going back home, I'm going back to Bethlehem. At first, they both said, well, we're going to go with you. And Naomi says, well, I really don't want you to. I have no more sons. I have no hope of having a husband and having more boys. And even if I did, you know, you're older and you couldn't wait till they got to the age that they could marry. And so you need to go back home to your home. And I'll pray that my God will bless you and that you'll find a husband in your homeland. Orpha goes back, but Ruth says, no, I'm going wherever you're going. I read Connie this verse at their wedding on Saturday, that verse from Ruth chapter 1 where Ruth said, hey, wherever you're going to go, I'm going to go. Your God's going to be my God, and where you die, that's where I'm going to die also. And so they go back to Bethlehem, and last week we talked about them getting back to Bethlehem, and the people of the town asking, was this Naomi? And Naomi said, don't call me Naomi anymore. That name means pleasant. Call me Mara. That name means bitter. Because she said, the Lord God hath dealt bitterly with me. And so they get back home, and they're both widows. They have no means of support, and so Ruth says, I'm going to go glean in the fields. I'm going to go after the reapers, after the harvesters, and I'm going to go glean and gather us grain so that we can survive, so that we can eat, so that we can live. And we ended last week in chapter 2, verse 3, where the Bible says that gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. And we ended last week talking about that for the children of God, for those of us that are saved, know we belong to God. God's our Lord, God's our Father. Nothing happens by accident. Nothing happens by coincidence. That he has our life planned and he directs our life. And he wanted Ruth in that particular field. He wanted Ruth in the field of Boaz. And so to her, it might have seemed like just a circumstance of life. It might have just seemed like an accident that she ended up there. But it wasn't an accident to God. It was part of God's plan. So look at verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. And so Boaz was you can tell even from this first verse he's mentioned in the book of Ruth, but you can tell from this verse that he was a well-respected, overall good guy. He came out to the field to see how the work was going, and the first thing he did was to ask a blessing on his workers. He said, the Lord be with you, the Lord strengthen you, the Lord protect you. The Lord provide for you. The Lord bless you. And they, in turn, blessed their master. They blessed Boaz. The Lord bless thee. The Lord, bless thee and make thee prosper. And so from just that one verse, we can tell that he was a reasonable, fair, just, kind employer that was well-respected by the people that worked for him. And they had a good relationship. And he seems like he was the kind of employer or owner, however you want to call him, that probably came to the field every day to check on the work. Verse 5, then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? So when he comes to the field, he sees a new girl. Now, there were other maidens there. Some of them were under his care. That he was responsible for taking care of. But he sees a new girl that is gleaning. And you remember, gleaning was a practice that was prescribed by God to take care of the widows and the poor. They would follow the reapers and pick up what the reapers missed or what they dropped. And so when he asked the question, whose damsel is this, he wanted to know who she was and what family that she belonged to. Because as the owner of the field, he had the right to decide who was going to glean in his field and who wasn't. I'm sure that he wanted to take care of those in his family that needed to glean, and so he limited the number of who was there. And this was the practice back in this time. They could say, "Hey, you know, you're not a part of our family. You need to go to a field that belongs to a family member and glean there." And so he asked the question, "Whose damsel or whose servant girl is this? Does she have the right to be here?" And so in verse 6, "And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, 'It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab.'" And so the guy that was in charge of the reapers, the guy that was in, that watched over the gleaners and made sure they were supposed to be there, said, "Well, this is a girl that came back with Naomi, the girl that came back from Moab." You can't tell from reading the verse and the couple, three books that I've been studying. They couldn't tell if this was a derogatory comment and said, "Hey, it's that heathen girl that came back with Naomi," and really casting an aspersion on both Ruth because she was a Moabitess, and casting aspersions on Naomi because she brought her back, or if it was just a statement of fact. I sort of think it was just a statement of fact because of what he says about her in the next verse. "And she said, 'I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house." So what this foreman sort of says to Boaz, says, "Well, boss, I knew she came back with Naomi, so she really is part of your family, because Elimelech and Boaz were close relatives. They were close kinsmen. And so when she came and asked me if she could glean with the other gleaners after us, because I knew that she was part of your family, again, by marriage, but I told her yes. And I got to tell you, she's been here since early this morning, and she's only spent a little time in the house." And that was probably a tent that they set up in the field so that the workers and the gleaners could go and, you know, sit down for a minute and get a drink of water. And what he was saying is, she's been here since early this morning, and she hadn't taken many breaks, and the breaks she has taken have been very, very short. She's a very hard worker, is what he was saying. She's a very industrious kind of person. Now, look at verses 8 and 9. "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Now, I want to remind you of something we talked about when we introduced the book of Ruth, and that is the concept of a kinsman, a near kinsman. The Hebrew word for it is goel, G-O-E-L. As a kinsman, you had three responsibilities to your family. If somebody in your family, because of poverty, had to sell themselves into slavery or sell a piece of their property into slavery, the kinsman or the goel had the responsibility to go and redeem that person or redeem that land. Free the person if they'd sold themselves into slavery because of poverty, the goel had the responsibility to go pay what they owed so they could be free. If they sold some of their property, and again, it was very important that the property stay in the family. In the book of 2 Kings, I think, 1 or 2 Kings. Nabal, yeah, thank you. Nabal, who said that? Okay, thank you, Kara. Nabal, King Ahab wanted to trade land, and Nabal said, "I can't trade. This is my father's inheritance." And it was very important to the Jews that they keep the land and the family. And so as a goel, you had the responsibility. If somebody in the family sold some land to pay a debt, you had the responsibility to go redeem it, go pay the debt, so the land would stay in the family. You also had the responsibility, if somebody killed somebody in the family, you were to take vengeance. Okay? Now, again, if it was an accident, you know, the laws of the city of refuge applied. But if somebody intentionally, premeditatively killed somebody in your family, you had the responsibility to take vengeance on that murder. And then the third thing is, and this is the part that applies here to the story in Ruth, if you had somebody in the family that died without having a son, you were responsible for going in and marrying that widow and raising up a son in the name of that family member that died. And so Boaz, I think, realized that he had some responsibility to both Naomi and to Ruth as widows in his family, again, since he was a near kinsman to Naomi's husband and to Ruth's father-in-law, Elimelech. And so when he says to Ruth, my daughter, I think he was acknowledging that responsibility. He was saying, hey, you really are part of my family. You fall under my watch care. I am responsible for some things to you. And so he says, don't go to another field. I have some maidens. Again, these were young ladies that he was responsible for taking care of. I have some maidens. I want you to watch them. And wherever they go to glean, you go to glean also. You stay with them. And he says, I charged the young men, the reapers, those guys that work for me, not to touch you. They're not going to take any liberties with you at all. They know that you are under my protection. And when you get thirsty, just go to the bucket or the vessel that the young men or the reapers have drawn out of the well, and you just drink from that bucket. You just drink from that vessel. And so here we see, again, we've just met him. We can already tell what kind of man he is by the exchange that he had with his workers. We can already tell what kind of man he is by the kindness that he has shown to this young widow, a heathen widow, somebody that was not part of the nation of Israel, somebody that was part of a nation that was an enemy to Israel, the Moabites. And at this point, I don't think Ruth knew that Boaz was a near kinsman. I don't think that she understood yet the relationship that he had with Naomi as, again, as a near kinsman. All she saw was an Israelite that was kind, that treated her with kindness, that says, hey, you can glean in my field. I will protect you from the young men that are reapers. They won't touch you in any way, and you just stay by my maidens. And if you get thirsty, go drink from their bucket. Now look at verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? She humbled herself. She fell on her face in humility before Boaz. She says, why? Why have I found grace in your eyes? Why would you even think about me? I mean, why would you take the time to notice me? I'm a stranger. What she's saying, I'm from Moab, and you know that. I mean, I'm an alien in your land. I'm a stranger in your land. Why this kindness? Why are you letting me glean in your field? Why have you given me your protection? Why have you said I can drink from the bucket that the reapers have drawn? And again, I've done nothing to deserve this. I mean, you don't know. And here we begin to see the picture that God paints for us in the book of Ruth of Christ and his church. Of course, Boaz represents Christ, who as an act of grace had pity on us and bestowed on us all the kindnesses, the kindness of salvation, the kindness of the Holy Spirit, the kindness of the church, the kindness of his protection, the kindness of his provision. I mean, I could go on, and you could, we did in our testimony time a little bit. We could go on for the rest of the night, and we can talk about the kindness that God has shown to us. And Ruth represents us, represents the church, the Gentiles, undeserving of God's grace. And we ask the same question. I mean, if we think about it, and if we realize what God has done for us, why me? Why would you save me? Why would you give me the Holy Spirit? Why would you bless me in the ways that you have? I've done nothing to deserve it. I'm a stranger. I'm an alien. I'm a sinner. I didn't have anything to do with you. Why would you show this kindness to me? Verse 11, and Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and are come unto a people which thou knowest not hereto. And so what Boaz is saying is, I've heard what you've done. I heard how you left home. I heard how you left your mom and dad. I heard how kind you've been to your mother-in-law in coming back to this place. You don't know anybody here except Naomi. You have no hope, and I'm sure this, he didn't say it, but I mean, just think about the story. You have no hope of ever getting a husband. Which Jewish boy is going to marry a Moab woman? I mean, you know, they'd have to disobey God to do that according to what God told them to do. And yet you've come here. You've left, again, you've left your parents, you've left the place where you were born, and now you're in the fields gleaning to provide for you and your mother-in-law. Look at verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. He said, I'm going to ask my God to reward to pay you for your work, to recompense you for your work, and to give you a full reward. Because he says, I know that you've come and you've put yourself under his wings. You told Naomi that your God's going to be my God. And what you were saying is that Jehovah God, Boaz would say, my God, the Lord God of Israel, you have put yourself under his wings, under his protection, under his provision, and I'm going to ask my God to bless you, to richly bless you. Now, again, I don't know if Boaz suffered love at first sight at this point or not, or I don't know if he was just continuing in his kindness of saying, Ruth, I'm going to pray for you, and I know what you've done, and I'm going to ask God to bless you for what you've done. Look at verse 13. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaids. And in this verse, Ruth was just being thankful. She was just saying, thank you for encouraging me. Thank you for speaking friendly to me. I know I'm not like one of your other handmaids. They're all Jewish girls. They're all Hebrew girls. And I'm not. And so thank you for being so kind to me. Now, in the next few verses, Boaz goes a little bit further in his kindness. In verse 14, and Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he, Boaz, reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And so at lunchtime, Boaz says, hey, come and eat with the reapers. Come have some bread and dip it in the vinegar. I don't understand why they did that, but just come and eat. And the Bible says that he gave her bread. He made, and it sufficed. In other words, he gave her enough to fill her up. She ate all that she wanted. And I was thinking, I am so glad that our God just doesn't meet our minimal daily requirements. I'm glad our God fills us up, gives us all that we want, gives us as much as we can hold, and says there's more where that came from. When you get hungry, come back, and I will fill you up again. Verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. He's taken another step in his kindness. The gleaners were supposed to go behind the reapers and pick up what they dropped or what they missed. He said, let her harvest with you. She doesn't have to be behind you. She can be right beside you. She can be out in front of you. And don't reproach her. Don't say, hey, you're a reaper, get behind us. He said, I want you, if she wants to go before you, if she wants to be there right there beside you and pick the barley in this case, before you get to the stalk, let her do it. Let her do it. Then he goes a step further and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose, or we would say the handfuls on purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Hey guys, if she stays behind you, just drop some extra for her. I mean, take a handful and just drop it. Take another handful and just drop it. And don't be upset about it. Just do what I tell you to do. And she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. So she worked from morning to night, and she took the barley and beat the chaff off of it to get down to the grain, and she had an ephah, which is about 3 pecks. And I had to look it up in the dictionary because, Brother Clint, I didn't know what a peck was. I know you do, and I know Brother Paul does, but I had no idea what a peck was. It said in the dictionary it was 8 quarts. And so if she had an ephah is 3 pecks. So she ended up with about 24 quarts of a barley. That was enough food. Now, usually when people gleaned, they gleaned enough. They ended up, the average gleaner ended up with enough food for one day. And so they had to come back the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Bible scholars figure with an ephah, or 3 pecks, that would have been enough to support her and Naomi for 5 days. And so again, she was blessed, not only by God, but by Boaz. Verse 18, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that which she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And so she went back. Naomi saw all this barley, all this grain. And she said, hey, where did you go today? Whose field were you in? And she didn't know it was Boaz, yet she said, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that let you glean today, that enabled you to get so much. And Ruth said, well, Mom, it was a man by the name of Boaz. Then in verse 20, and Naomi said unto her daughter, unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Naomi praised the Lord. She said, Ruth, God, it may have seemed like God has forgotten us. Elimelech's dead. Malon, your husband, is dead. We lost your brother-in-law. And of course, Orpher went back home. But God's not done with us yet. God's still watching out for us. He's still showing kindness to the living, us, and to the dead. Elimelech and Mahlon, their husbands. God is still being kind. This man is one of our near kinsmen. He's our next kinsman. He's our Goel. And again, I don't know if Ruth at this point understood what a Goel was. And Ruth, verse 21, and Ruth the Moabite said, he said also unto me, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all the harvest. She said, Mom, he told me to stay near his reapers. He told me not to go anywhere else. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. Naomi says, I think that's a good idea. Now, I think Naomi already was beginning to hatch that thought that that God's going to do something between Boaz and Ruth, and maybe she was going to help him a little bit. And we're going to see that in the next chapter. But I think that thought was already coming into her mind. Maybe God's going to be good to us. Bring these two together. Verse 23, so she, Ruth, kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. And so she was obedient to Naomi. Naomi said, you stay with Boaz's maidens, you stay in his fields. And she did. All the barley was harvested and all the wheat was harvested. And again, I think Naomi was already thinking, I think God's going to do something. I can tell you, I think Ruth respected Boaz. I think you can tell that in how she approached him and how she talked to him. And I think you see Boaz, great kindness for this young lady. And again, I don't know if God had spoken to him yet about what was going to happen or if all that happened in chapter 3, but that's what we'll look at next week. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed.